Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh boy, did the Nuggets put us to sleep tonight. What a snooze fest. Before we get into tonight's therapy lounge, let's talk about Snooze Mattress. The Snooze Flip is the most universal mattress on the planet. A mattress that is designed to fit everybody. Introducing the world's first 4-in-1 mattress. You can choose soft, firm, or cool, or cozy. Flip it, zip it, bop it, pass it. What you want today might not be what your body needs tomorrow. You could buy one mattress to last 8 years. But a lot can change in that amount of time as you get fitter, heavier, and older. Customize your comfort, zip it, flip it, and choose your Snooze. Here's the deal. You know we're not just telling you this for fun. We have a code. Use code DNVR and receive $250 off a mattress and $250 off with adjustable base. Use code DNVR at Snooze Mattress.
The Losers Lounge, my old friend. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Losers Lounge.
The therapy lounge. First therapy lounge of the season.
First therapy lounge. Pull up a seat. Go ahead and tell us how you're feeling. I'm Adam Mattis. We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Use promo code DNVR when you sign up to lose money with all of us. This happens, guys. A shocker. Like, you think... You know what this was? This was where it's 2 days off.
Yep.
And you spend like 72 hours just being like, oh man, can't wait for the Nuggets game. Can't wait for the next one. The day you have to go to bed. You wake up. You're checking your phone. I can't wait. Another day. Go to bed. Then it gets here. You're like, woohoo! And then you're like 30 seconds in. Yo, power dunked on by Laurie freaking Markkanen. And you're like, oh God, what were.
Dude, you know who wasn't feeling those feelings of anticipation is. Every member of the Nuggets except for Nikola Jokic.
They definitely, even Jokic, to be honest. Like, let's not let him off the hook. He put up some numbers tonight, but he was not part of the solution. Not part of the solution. Although he was
not part of the solution because there wasn't a solution.
There was not a solution. I think that's probably more accurate. All right, I got Brennan Vogt here.
You know, in hindsight, guys, when the Nuggets were playing the Cavaliers on a Monday with 2 days off, I don't know why we picked them to win this game.
Yeah, I know. What were we thinking?
How many years do I have to watch this team before I...
I thought, you know, well, we can get into it. I got D-Line over here.
Yo, we have 8 downvotes. For what? We didn't play the game. What the hell is this?
We brought our A game.
What the hell? We're here for you people. And this is how you repay us?
Hey, honestly, send them our way. If it makes you feel better, send them our way. We'd say, they're for me specifically. You send them to me. I got Superstar Dev here.
3 straight Munders. 3 straight under games
yeah.
for MPJ.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's happening.
I'm sure we'll talk about it.
I'm sure we are going to talk about it. There is a lot to get to here. I mean, as we're 3 games in now, and there are some narratives that are starting, not even narratives, there's some things that are starting to take shape, like some things we're learning about the Nuggets. One of them is, hey, they are the Munder Kings. Like, nobody could get 100 points on the Nuggets. Are you kidding? Nobody gets 100 points on Denver. In a weird way, they're a bit more of a defensive team this year so far through 3 games. But the offense really struggling to make shots, but I think also struggling to be cohesive. The turnovers. Struggling. On the struggle bus for sure. I'll start with you, Vogt. What's your number one takeaway from this game and maybe from the Nuggets so far now that you've seen them at their lowest?
So the turnovers are a problem right now, and I think it's a really big part of why the Nuggets are shooting the ball. Well, before tonight, they were shooting the ball well, but that offensive rating is still well below what you might expect from what we've come to see from these guys, and I think a big part of it is they're a little sloppy with the ball. Malone pregame obviously tabbed that. He said the turnovers are a problem. We're 2-0, but if we continue to turn the ball over, that will be the reason we lose. there were 100 factors tonight, but it's one that I look to right away.
The turnovers, Eric. Even this is why I say even Jokic, because Jokic did. I mean, obviously, you look at the line: 19 rebounds, 24 points, three assists, three steals. Like, he did a lot of things, but six turnovers. Oh. And some of these turnovers were like, dude, he had two to Markkanen that were just like he handed it to him. It was really weird.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all of the turnovers. They weren't just turnovers. Jokic's, everyone's. They were like clownish.
They were clownish.
Like, every turnover was the loudest, most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. People throwing the ball over people's head. I mean, it just looked sloppy. The whole game was just as sloppy as NBA basketball gets. Like, it really felt like, you know, like we were still in the preseason. Like, they were still trying to figure each other out. They had no rhythm. Like, nobody was playing together. We had tons of wide-open three-point shots that absolutely no one could hit. But they didn't stop shooting them, which is good, but then they didn't get better looks. They got worse looks, and they were just forcing it through, man. It was just ugly through and through, man.
Dev, sometimes turnovers just happen. Like, games get, you know, you've had turnover games where you're like, what's wrong with me today? It doesn't feel like you're not, it's not that you're not focused or whatever. But there's also, I do feel there is a correlation, especially with Jokic, where he really has his worst turnovers when he feels the rhythm of the team is off. And I just wonder, like, so much of the season so far has the rhythm been established with this new group without Murray? Monte hasn't quite been there. Do you feel the turnovers are more a symptom of Denver just not having great chemistry right now?
I do, especially with a player like Jokic who has the ball in his hands, you know, pretty much all the time. There's situations where I know you've been at a gym where you're a person that passes the ball extremely well and you look good in settings where other high IQ players are around you. But when you're with other guys that are not cutting or not getting to where you want them to be because that's where they're supposed to be, or also just nobody being on like on the right frequency at all, then you start kind of and it looks like Jokic gets frustrated where he forces the pass. Just
very
to be like,
frustrated.
That's
tonight.
Where you're supposed to be. Yeah, so yeah. I'm going to pass it there no matter what, because now you're going to start learning like later. Or also he's just frustrated passing like, whatever, I'm just going to just, you want the ball so bad, I'll give it to you. And that, it kind of just builds on to everyone else just kind of feeding into it. When you see him like visibly frustrated, it's hard to try to find any type of rhythm at all. And they just don't have it right now, especially offensively. That was my biggest takeaway of the game is as good as they are defensively, they're as bad on offense right now. And I don't know how you change it around because it has to be around Michael Porter Jr. And he just does not have it on that end of the floor.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I think if they cut down on the turnovers, I think if some of these key guys start hitting shots, Porter, of course, namely, chief among them, I think you're going to see that offensive rating start to creep back up. But
the question is, what's the chicken and what's the egg there?
Right,
that's part of it.
Sure. I don't know, man. I think a lot of this, like tonight for me, Porter's just missing shot. Like, I'm not even saying that, oh, that was a terrible shot. I mean, two or three of them tonight were. But so like, oh, he usually hits those shots. If he's not going to, they're in trouble. But I don't know. I'm not super worried about the offense yet. I'm not.
Mm. So we're talking about turnovers we can get to, because my big takeaway from this one is, you know, we all had Michael Porter penciled in for tonight. You know, here's a great chance at a breakout game. And if nothing else, like, okay, maybe the Nuggets would hum. But, you know, we didn't expect a bad game with Michael Porter also looking this out of sorts. And you mentioned Jokic looked very frustrated tonight. Michael Malone looked very frustrated. Porter got yanked in the first half. I mean, straight up just pulled out. He did have two fouls, but it wasn't like he had three. So I'll ask you, Eric, like, I feel like this team is not operating on the same frequency, and it caught up to him tonight, maybe worse, almost as if it's going in descending order from Phoenix to San Antonio to then this game. The vibes.
You're asking if the vibes are trending in the wrong direction?
But not just the win-loss. I'm talking about the team almost seems like they're getting further away on the frequency, not closer.
I don't know if that's true because they've never given up 100 points. Like, they're just... as far as the offense is concerned, like, I don't know. They just, you're right. Like, this was the furthest it's looked from it having any sort of cohesion.
And the first game was the closest. So it's like,
yeah,
a three game step.
You're right. I mean, yes, if we were plotting this on a chart, it would absolutely be going in the wrong direction. But like, I mean, I'm buying the dip.
It's three. Okay. Just three games.
I'm buying the dip, man. I mean, like, you can't tell me that they're going to continue to be right. this bad, this tragic from 3-point. I mean, it wasn't bad night. It was a tragic night from three. It was like Monte Morris was committing. I think he committed three turnovers in a row.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like this is the second game in a row where we've had three, four, five turnovers from Monte specifically. Like just like super out of character.
Well, He's only credited with two.
But to your point, he looked just disjointed again tonight.
Super 27 minutes, one of four shooting. Like, yeah. Again, some of this is just the strat distribution when you look at this and you think, how does that even happen? I'm with you. I mean, look, again, this is our job to talk about games immediately in the aftermath and this or that. So, and this was such a bad game that, of course, the analysis are going to be so bad. But I'm with you that it's a three-game sample. Here's how I would put it. The Nuggets' challenge right now is figuring out this awkward getting on the same wavelength with everybody. And through three games, you know, they haven't succeeded at doing that. And today it caught up with them. Dev, where are you at with Michael Porter? And, you know, it just doesn't look like he's enjoying himself out there either. It's not like he's doing his own thing and he doesn't get what it's that he's just also in hell.
Yeah. And that goes back to, I am on the, like the more side of worrying, because even in the first two games, it kind of took great defense, like excellent defense, and also Jokic just playing out of his mind, which he has been. But on the, like, for offense, they just have not been able to figure it out, and that's through three games. I know it is a small sample size, but where does it change? And it does go to, like, they're taking open shots, they're missing open shots, but also even with the shot distribution, Aaron Gordon's taking 14 shots. Monte Morris is taking shots. Will Barton is trying to find his own, like, but it all relies on Michael Porter Jr. and if he can open up the offense, because that opens up other guys. With him kind of just forcing it, and that's what he did in the second half especially, it breaks the rhythm of the team. You feel like the coach is calling out him for saying, like, I mean, for just, like, we're going to give it to Jokic and you got to figure out your way. But then there was, like, times like tonight where it feels like he has to shoot it. He feels like in his mind he has to shoot it. And that's where the issue comes, because he's trying to shoot himself out of a slump instead of playing within the flow. You got to get Michael Porter Jr. in a flow for the team to open up.
Did you feel – I didn't feel like he took that many bad shots tonight. No. I think it's almost more that he's not getting good shots within the flow of the offense. I mean, he took 14 tonight, but how many of those were in the desperation time? He took like three or four in a row just trying to –
To me, it's just when he's wide open, they aren't knocked down right now, right? Those shots are happening too. And, like, when he knocks those down, you sort of live with okay, that wasn't a great shot or that wasn't a great look, but you were feeling it, but – there's like a totality of it right now that's not holding up.
Yeah.
I think, look, turnovers are my biggest issue, and Jokic is a part of that, as great as he's been.
Yeah.
I think if they cut the turnovers down, I think if Monte Morris starts to look more like a game manager, and again, I expected this slow start from Monte. Like, we can acknowledge it, but let's slow our roll a little bit on, like, what needs to change. Right. I think he's having a rusty start.
I think so, too. I think it's a big part of it.
A big part of it. He's the starting point guard. He's a game manager. They look disjointed. If he looks better, if the turnovers cut down, if Porter looks like he belongs again, which, again, I expect to happen eventually, I think they'll look really potent. It's the offensive process has been discouraging thus far, but you ask yourself this question. Do you think the Nuggets are going to be an average or bad offense this year? I don't.
Yeah, of course
not. I think they're going to figure it out. And in the meantime, they're 2-1.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this is the first game we've been talking about the offensive process. They just didn't.
Well, the last offensive process was just Yoke scored. Yeah, but, like, we did bail them out on one.
Yeah, but we weren't, like, raising the red flag about it. Tonight was just so atrocious that it feels bigger than it is.
And I think the Porter momentum is what it is. Like, it's just three games in. We're just waiting for him to have a moment.
It's true.
Not just where he knocks down shots, but where it feels like a great part of the process. Monte Morris, certainly a storyline. I mean, the 1-4 tonight in 27 minutes, even just the 27 minutes, kind of stands out. You thought he would play a little bit more than that. I thought. Interesting rotations tonight. Bones Highland gets to his debut tonight. Mm.
He looked good.
And he did look very good. He's one of the few bright spots from tonight. But what's funny is, you know, they called a timeout as he checked in. So there was no moment. I got people from the arena saying, hey, there was no moment. Like, it's his debut. And by the way, Denver desperately needed a moment. There was like, let's try to gain some momentum. I thought Faku tried to give him one when he got in Rubio's face, presumably for no reason. He was just like, I think Faku's like, you know what? I need to get the crowd into this. I know what to do. Punch him in the gut. Honestly, I think that was a calculated thing. And with Bones, you thought maybe with Malone too. He was like, I know it'll get the crowd into this and maybe wake our guys up. Bones. But then the timeout happened and there's just no announcement, so there was no momentum for it.
But that did have momentum going into it because Faku had just hit a corner three, I think.
Yeah.
Or they came into the game. I think they were down like 4 points. and then even Bones, there was like that time, and then they kind of rode that for a bit too long, and it made it difficult to come back with. But I don't even know what to attribute to, like, with that second unit. It was just like they did have momentum at times, and then kind of there was just nothing that the starters could get going.
Right.
It just made it hard for the backup unit.
The starters continued to play a lot of their minutes together as well. That's, you know, another storyline here. Any notes on Aaron Gordon?
You know, ultimately, he didn't shoot the ball very well.
5 of 14.
So, I mean, that's what's going to cost him in the grades tonight. You know, outside of that, there were a lot of things I want to compliment him on. I thought he rebounded well. I thought he played with energy. You know, he's kind of a weird guy in terms of, like, figuring out what gear he's in. But there's been moments in all three games where he's looked like one of two, if not the only Nuggets on the floor, who cares? And he plays that way. So I liked the way he played tonight. Just didn't make enough shots, ultimately. And the one, he caught that rebound and then he immediately faded away. It's like, dude, you are the weirdest player ever. Like,
right.
Make a pass. You're a good playmaker. Go up strong. But
it
that
was the most bizarre. Like, why don't I just fade away here? It was painful.
Almost a good night. He just didn't shoot well.
He had some very impressive nights. I mean, he had the monster dunk over Kevin Love. Yeah. He had the dunk between him and Jokic, that 5-4 pick and roll. That was gorgeous. He had the handle. Like, he had a couple things that really popped tonight in ways that you're like, okay, that's some of the Aaron Gordon, you know, we wanted to see, but, you know, ultimately it came in a loss. We got a couple super chats here. I love our real ones only in the Losers Lounge. Anybody will come to a Winners Lounge. Real ones only in the Losers Lounge. Let's hit a couple of these before we take our first break. Bones with his first NBA minutes. Only Malone would play him when the game was still in play. Shaking my head. I expect them to be much better in Utah. Go Nugs. I mean, look, I expect them to be better in Utah as well. Just because I don't know if they can be worse. Utah.
I was just going
to
say, like, how could you be worse? He scored, what, 84 points?
80? I mean, if this was a game, like, if you graded this game for the Nuggets, it probably would be an F. It was really bad.
Well, except for
I get to do that tonight.
The whole team?
Except for they held them under 100 points. Like, their defense, like, even if it's, I don't even.
They held a team that starts three centers.
If you hold a team under 100 points in the NBA, you're supposed to win.
Yeah.
There's a name for that. It's called them under. Like, it's worth,
it's called them
if
under.
Something is, like, you don't give a nickname to something that's not impressive, right?
Are you bumping up the score for the defensive numbers?
No. Because if you have a team that has Kevin Love that goes for 22 points.
Yeah.
They still didn't score 100 points. Yeah. That's worth something.
Okoro didn't score tonight, I guess. all right, what else we got, Gil? Trying to push that pace too much. It's an emphasis, but I think that's really contributed to turnovers.
I think so, too.
Maybe.
There were a lot of fast breaks, and every single one of them I was wincing during, because it looked like someone was going to take a charge. There was going to be some, like, ridiculous pass. They blew a lot of fast breaks.
I really do feel like Monte's such a key piece to this. And yes. It was his offseason. We kind of suspected this coming in. Like, he's clearly not hitting the ground running this season, and they need him to. They need a point guard. They really need a point guard.
Agreed. Well, fellas.
Hold on. We have one more. Oh. We got Ray here, and he says, if there's one thing I can believe in with Malone, it's that losing with drive change like nothing. I can't see.
Losing will drive change like nothing else.
So
I think he means with regards to that bench, that all five bench playing together.
It could be. Look, Malone, if this is a trait of Michael Malone. If you were like a pro gambler that was always looking at different like tendencies from a coach, one of his number one tendencies is he loves five-man units. He loves the starters. They play more minutes than any other starting group when they're healthy. And then he loves the bench. The bench plays as a five-man. So maybe, maybe not. The one thing I will say is Bones got in tonight. Here's what I'll say about Malone. Tells us in the preseason, I can't keep Bones on the bench. Then he keeps him on the bench. Then what's he say in the pregame show tonight? Bones is going to have to sit and ride the pine and wait his turn. Then he plays tonight. So, like, Malone is the ultimate liar, really, to the media.
When he said that today, I was like, oh, Bones is playing. Bones is playing tonight.
All right, let's hit our break. Good. Thanks for the super chats. Keep them coming if you want. if you're feeling low enough. If this game were a day of the week, you know what day it would be?
Monday.
It was definitely a Monday.
It's a Monday. So I don't know if
not
I recommend
holiday.
It.
Not a 3-day weekend Monday.
No.
It's a straight up regular ass Monday.
Season changing Monday.
Season changing.
One of the best ways
Right after daylight savings, where you have to wake up an hour early. That's what this day would be. Go ahead.
Off you go.
One of the best ways
like,
to get
snow, like on the windshield of your car, there's like ice and everything.
I hate those ones.
You have to go out there and scrape the car.
That's a bad Monday.
One of the best ways to get through a Nuggets loss. Step one, therapy lounge with the homies. Step two, right. Crack open a Mile High City copper lager. Every doctor recommends drinking through your sorrows. I'm kidding, of course. Drink responsibly when you drink Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Also seltzers, also lemonades, all that good stuff. If you're trying to figure out how to get more Breck in your life, just come over to the DNVR bar in New York and Colfax. We got it on tap. It's delicious. You get those member-sized beers. If you're a member, of course, and you should be, so cheap. Pays for itself with the beers alone, to be honest. If you want to have some at home, use the Breck Beer Locator Google at, and then you type in Mile High City Copper Lager. Then it asks you where you live. You tell it where you live, and then it tells you where to go. Pretty easy. Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. If you're going to order from their farmhouse for food or drinking, you can do so by calling 303-803-1380 from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. Use code DNVR to save $5. The Nuggets looked ugly tonight, guys. And tomorrow in Utah, we're hoping they'll look sexy. That's it. That's all I got as a segue for this sexy pizza read.
Sexy pizza, baby.
Sexy pizza, the official pizza of the DNVR Broncos tailgate that we've been hosting all year. It's delicious.
Got another one this week, this Sunday.
With 13 years in the Denver community, sexy pizza is as local as it gets. Hand-tossed deck oven pizza with made from scratch each morning dough. Choose your own adventure with their wide range of toppings or try one of their signature philanthro pies. A portion of every sale from these five specialty pies is donated to a range of different nonprofits right here in Colorado. Looking to have a sexy pizza? Looking to have sexy pizza support your organization or event? Go to www.sexy.pizza. Look at their about page for donations and see how sexy pizza can support your cause.
Yeah, tonight did not look sexy. It looked more like a pizza.
It definitely looks more like a pizza. Right. A really gross pizza. We're gonna try out a new segment here tonight, guys. We're gonna assign emojis to certain.
My time has arrived.
So we all have our emojis here in the chat, guys. This is obviously a great opportunity for you guys to play along with us. I'm gonna start with.
There are so many emojis.
The first bucket of the game. Larry Markkinen's dunk on Nikola Jokic. What emoji are you going to use for this terrible start? I've got it. That was mine. That was what I was going to go with. Mind blown. Tom's going mind blown.
Way to go, Markkinen, dude. Yeah.
What sucks about this dunk most of all is that it was Larry freaking Markkinen, one of the worst players in the NBA. Probably the worst starter in the NBA.
What rules about it, though, is that he tried it again inexplicably.
Oh, it is true.
This is my real one.
This one was, there's like levels of pain and joy as a circle, and this one was like the one that was like so bad, kind of funny. It's like so terrible. Oh, it's kind of
never heard Dev more animated at any point. In the time that we've known him, on set, off set, in the bar.
It sucks so bad.
Dev was laughing so hard.
I could not believe it. Seriously, like everything moved in slow motion. I was wondering who it was. Then he slid across the floor. I was like, what happened? That was wild. It was actual madness. If this was not your face, I really don't know what it was.
That was the most animated I've ever seen or heard Dev in my entire so time of knowing him.
I was like, what did we do? Do we break Dev? Like,
when it, it's fun. I love the people playing along here. A lot of vomit faces in the chat here. Yeah, definitely have vomit. I don't think we have vomit face.
I was looking for it.
When it happened, I was like, Yoke's going for 50 now, like, or Yoke's shutting down. And Yoke kind of had a crappy first quarter. Like, that first quarter was a little, I was like, damn it. Kind of wanted him to come out and punch back right away.
He did both. He shut down, and then he was like, you know what? That was Larry Markkinen. He is horrible.
He's terrible.
Now you guys got to get it. Yeah. Because he tried that. Yeah. Then he tried it again. I was like, oh, he does not respect you. What happened?
What a frustrating one. All right. Faku Campazzo getting into it with Ricky Rubio. Gosh, ready?
There's too many.
You got to go through them quickly. You guys find them. Ready, go.
Dude. Oh,
these are good.
Muy fuertito.
Yeah. I love it. Oh, I think it was such a like, oh, yes. I loved it. You know what I loved about it? If you freeze frame that play, It's like when he's running to the corner where you could just see the wheels in his head and he's like, I'm going to start something. Punch. Because he hits him. Something. He hits him. And then he, like, Faku kind of just got in his face for no, I feel like Rubio was just like, oh. And he's like, what are you going to do about it? It's like, Rubio's like, why are we fighting right now?
I don't know. Rubio was like right in his face too. Like he like scared him. Yeah,
but Faku got like, he like ran right into him. Like, hey, we're doing this.
I need to know what they said. He knew how Rubio was going to react because he instigated that reaction.
You think they argued in English or Spanish?
Oh, that was Spanish.
Let me think about that. Their native tongue that they've gone at each other for 15 years because they've known each other in English. Let me think about that.
That was a featherweight like standoff. Like it was a face off. I was like, oh man, this is Mayweather versus Pacquiao or something like that. It's gonna be interesting.
Bones Highlands debut. Let me see here. You already got it? You already got
God
it?
Damn it, Dev. I was going for the eyes.
Going applause. I'm going applause. It was good.
Dude, that's such a dad emoji reaction.
You know what? Yay. I'm giving it to him. Good job, son. Fire?
Cool.
A little fire. It was like cool. Yeah, it was a little cool.
Dude, big eyes over here. Me and Dad.
I put the eyeballs just because that was like something you have to like look out for. You play in your debut game and you don't play like atrocious. Then like the starting guard is not playing well. Then Austin Rivers also is not playing well. It's like, okay. Just keep our eyes on that.
Yeah. So here's the real question, though, around Bones Highland. I do feel like Malone is playing games where it's not games, like mind games or this or that, but I do feel like it's like, hey, we're not giving it to you right away. You have to earn it. But I wonder, here's what's different about Bones than maybe some of the previous ones. He is solid enough and provides something they need that I'm like, I'm ready to see. I mean, Austin Rivers today ISO'd Okoro and got his jumper blocked twice. In the same play, like Austin Rivers had a really, really, really,
oh my God.
Really bad start to the season.
Austin Rivers, let me see.
I don't want to trash on the guy, but honestly, like I'm not sure Rivers has provided anything through three games. I kind of feel like Bones might get more run. Like, why did he play tonight?
In the second half, you mean?
No. Why did Bones play tonight?
Why did he play tonight?
Yes. Like, why did he get into the game tonight?
I mean, no one looked like they had it.
But he came in right away.
Why did he? Spell PJ Dozier.
Exactly.
That's like, what I don't get.
That's what I'm saying. Malone tonight was just like, you know what? Bones is playing tonight. I don't know why.
I know. It clearly wasn't like planned out. He was like, go in for him.
Yeah. And to me, I do think, I mean, we're probably going to end up, belaboring this point a little bit, but yeah, I don't see why it wouldn't be Bones for Austin Rivers right now. Or, stagger and PJ plays the two and Rivers just sits and it's either Porter or Barton in the three, which I do think he'll get to eventually. I do want to reiterate, I thought we did a good job explaining, I'm not saying it's the right call, but I think we did a good job explaining why Malone.
Sure. So
he wants to see it work this way because then he doesn't have to rely too much on Porter or Barton. He gets to keep his starters together. He believes in veterans. Yeah, I don't know. I think we know why he's doing it. It's gonna have to be Bones for Rivers or a stagger eventually, though.
Bones is funny because I noticed this even when we were scouting him from college. His misses are really bad, but his percentages are great. It's just
right.
Usually like Steph Curry when he missed, it'll be like, oh, just barely rimmed out. Like Bones today, his first shot, I'm sure he was hopped up on adrenaline, but he missed it by 5 feet.
It was not close.
It was really odd.
That was like his first shot in the
NBA.
Summer League, too.
Oh, yeah.
So like it was just like way over the rim.
It's like he's got a caliber. Like his eyesight's not great. So he's like, how was it? I will say his second and third buckets, though, were so smooth. Yep. And like he adjusted really quickly. He's such a crafty pick and roll player. Does a great job of sort of setting the second line of defense up. And I'm just so impressed with him on the offensive end. I really want to see more and more. I'm ready. I mean, you guys already know this. Tony Brothers is officiating today.
Tony Brothers is officiating.
Let's see what we got here.
What a devilish, what a mischievous little
kind of little
scam.
Poo. Tony Brothers, man.
What
I swear,
a little
like,
scam.
This was like, I'm not saying, look, the Nuggets did themselves no favors.
Oh, yeah,
it's 100%. On them tonight. But this was a game where I felt like it was so physical. This was like a lot of just letting stuff go inside tonight. You get clown face. Yeah, clown face.
I'm so tired of knowing your names.
I know.
Why do I know who you are?
Man, who is it that now does the ESPN broadcast? Is it Monty McCutcheon who shows up in the like bow tie and the like giant plaid suits and stuff? Like,
I'm proud to say I have no idea.
You know, I'm not, well, here's the point I'm making. Referees are kind of egomaniacs.
Clearly.
To rise to this level of referee, you say you're tired of knowing their names. Dude. These are guys that, like, desperately want you to know their names and everything about
you. I'm telling you, if you really, really want to despise the NBA referees, listen to the Whistleblower podcast. Oh, you realize, yeah, like, yeah, what a weird little closed door old boys club clique this is, that, like, that you don't really understand, like, who these guys are, why they have these jobs, why they can't be moved out if they are, you know, bad at those jobs.
Yeah,
it's terrible. It's like it's the worst part of the NBA, and at least not getting any better. It is hilarious though. Like, it is funny because, like, you know, in seasons past, it was like, bro, stop calling these ticky tack fouls. And tonight it was like, bro, call a foul. Like, I also, like, no in between.
The other thing too is the Nuggets just did commit an obscene amount of fouls tonight. Like, set a legal screen.
Right.
Should they hire Darrell Arthur as a screens coach? Is that a thing?
Tony Brothers was trying to be the player of the game. I think he saw that that top 75s list, and he's like, I'm going to make it on that. How am I going to make it on that? I'm gonna impact the game every single time I see the Nuggets play.
Oh, my God.
You guys got any more you want to emoji off here?
Let's talk about absolutely. Austin Rivers, huh?
Well, I don't want to pile the guy. Come
we
on.
We could talk about my decision to back Michael Porter.
Let's go.
Yet again.
What? You were confident in that one, too, man.
Very confused.
He's doing it for himself. I'll do it, too.
Cloud. Michael Porter.
I just don't understand. Why I would do that. I said I wasn't going to do that until I seen it. And then I tricked myself into it. Especially with Jokic playing as, like, as good as he is. He's a different man. And
he is different man.
You would think that now that we are tracking your locks with a graphic, that you'd take more care. But what are you going to do?
We can hit King of the Game real quick, Kale. I know you have that one ready, locked and ready to go. This is no surprise. Like, sometimes King of the Game is just so, so simple. Everybody was terrible. Yoke, while not great, did put up 24-19-3, which is really good. I lost a lot of money tonight.
Yeah,
I lost a lot of money.
We all did.
Like, all my units are terrible. We took a really.
It was such an under game, and we don't like unders. So it just,
we don't like under. We're not going to sit here and miss
in
the
long run, guys. For those of you who fear the Smuggets and the wrath of the basketball gods, this was for the best because we were going to get hot up in here.
Oh,
Eric was going to get out of control.
No, I listen. I've learned my lesson. I take a more measured and metered approach to watching NBA basketball from here on out. And you're absolutely right. I would have been a disaster. I was already reading Smuggets in the chat. The last two games, I was about to start saying it out loud.
I could see it on the tip of your tongue. I was like, no.
Somebody in the chat says, all the Nuggets suck.
All the Nuggets
are bad. All the Nuggets are bad.
It's too ridiculous.
I loved it. This is the greatest part about an NBA season, by the way. It's like why you watch the whole thing. It's just a fucking storyline of like, wow, this is the worst team I've ever seen. And then the next night you're like, this team is an unbelievably historically great team. And it just goes back and forth. And, like, you feel a certain way, and then you just get punched in the face for, you know, for your pride.
As an experiment next year, like, as a community, we should all just follow another team's fan base on Twitter and just watch their reactions.
Oh,
from the outside.
Oh, dude, that's the thing. You know? Whenever you talk, remember last year when we had Espo on and we're like, so Chris Paul's really made a difference. He's like, not really. It's like, come on, dude. Hold up. I think he's had a pretty positive.
I know. We're all...
He's like, it's not really him, but yeah. Like, what?
Contenders don't lose these games as a contender loses a game that every contender loses every year.
Every one of them.
The same a-hole was on the timeline tonight saying
oh,
that.
I love that. Contenders don't lose
contenders
games.
Contenders don't lose ever. They never lose to bad teams.
Something about moral victories.
Meanwhile, the Nets have lost. They're like 1-3. They've been blown out three times now.
That's pretty funny. Why don't we hit our last break? On the other side, though, we'll preview. We'll move on. I'll tell you what. This Losers Lounge, it does the trick, man.
Every time, dude.
We're two segments in. I'm already feeling 30% better.
Oh my God. Do you want to feel even better?
Pull that one up, Kale. Our guy. Although I did notice that he cut his normal.
I did notice that too.
You know what? Hey,
do not look a horse gift in the mouth.
No, we don't.
Don't look a horseman in the mouth.
Don't look at a horse gift in the mouth. No, on the other side, we'll look ahead to the Jazz. I'm already over it, guys. Already over the loss.
That's right.
We did get him under, Gordon.
Get him under. Hell yeah. Harrison Wind right now, live at Ball Arena, waiting patiently outside the Nuggets locker room. Apparently, no players have spoken yet, so we're maybe a ways away from Ole Harrison joining the show. But we will look ahead and maybe even bounce around the league.
Here's hoping we get to stretch this one out. Waiting for Harrison.
Take all the time you need, bro. We're doing great over here.
We haven't even gone around the league into other box scores yet. Hey, listen, some of you might be looking for work. How about a place that practices diversity and inclusion? How about a place with their culture of belonging that's been noticed by the Human Rights Campaign? How about a place with a corporate equality index score of 100%? How about this? A place with its name plastered on beautiful Ball Arena. I'm talking about Ball Corp. Text GOLDEN to 77222. You'll get linked to open positions. You can also go directly to jobs.ball.com, search for GOLDEN. That's jobs.ball.com and search for GOLDEN. Or simply text GOLDEN to 77222 and apply positions at their aluminum can manufacturing plant. What was the next read? I already forgot. Here we go.
Man, we're all in our game tonight, dude.
If you were a player tonight, you'd be Austin Rivers.
That feels tough. You went right for
I would say, yeah, you're getting mundered by these ad reads.
Mundered by the ad reads.
That shook me. I don't even have a story ready for this Manscaped read. I'll just go right into
it. Oh, wow.
It's fall. Manscaped, something about pumpkins. They resemble balls. 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped are joining Manscaped at manscaped.com. 20% off.
Honestly, join
shipping.
The Manscaped crew, guys. I mean, this is the thing. We've been telling you about it. Like, honestly, guess what's coming up? Christmas.
Woo.
Wives, girlfriends, or even boyfriends.
Just a subtle hint to your partner. 20% off plus free shipping with code DNVR. Hey, if you want me to look, 20% off. Code DNVR. Manscaped. It helps you shave your balls. You guys know about that. And if you're a fan of DNVR Nuggets and BSN and DNVR, then you know all about Green Mountain Dental Group. I'm talking about one of the OG partners, bro.
All right.
So OG that I can't remember the read. Yeah, we've had several DNVR listeners switch over to Green Mountain Dental Group over the years, make them their permanent family dentist. Part of that reason is because they're big Colorado sports fans, just like you, just like me, just like all of us here at DNVR. So instead of asking you about the weather, they're telling you how much Jokic whips ass. Plus, when you schedule a cleaning, a cleaning x-ray and exam, you also get a free Sonicare toothbrush out the door. That's an insane value. Schedule that cleaning with Green Mountain Dental Group.
This is the perfect song to be playing in the Losers Lounge. This Puddle of Mud song, you know?
You know what I'm the proudest of anything I've ever been is?
What's that?
I don't know who this song is by.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever heard this before.
You didn't grow up in the 90s? Like, in the late 90s? Like, this is like, you want to go get a barbed wire tattoo right now.
a tribal tat.
And it's like, this is, it's emo rock from the late
90s. Hey, Tim, what would you say your favorite Puddle of Mud song is?
There's only one Puddle of Mud song. It's this one.
It's all right. This sounds like something I would have played, like, doing running back drills on Matt.
What?
Yeah.
Superstar Dev over here.
I'm sure that the people have they've heard this song. Probably on Madden.
Oh my God. All right. So, we're over this loss. Nuggets lose one. They got to fly out to get on a plane and fly out to Utah tonight. Take on
Gobert
and the Jazz. They hate a Jazz. Now, here's the thing. Nuggets Jazz have met many times. Many times on a second night of a back-to-back for Denver for whatever reason. Schedule makers like Quinn Snyder's brother or something. But the Nuggets Jazz always play classics. Have been like two bad games. They kept games two and game three. Those were the only bad games the Jazz
They were in the playoffs and they almost ended our
they
lives.
Almost ended all of our lives. that's the only bad games that have happened. By the way, different man. I'm looking at Jokic now in his presser. Sweats, beanie, hoodie. Same man.
Yeah, same guy for sure.
He probably listened to the show and he's like, these MFers are going to hold me to a suit standard now every time.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not doing that.
Or he did it one time and he was like, his neck got itchy.
That's like,
he's like, enough with that.
Like, so true, man. Wearing formal clothes when you don't have to.
Dude, wearing a turtleneck. Was it Mitch Hedberg famously said that you're getting slowly choked by a really weak midget all day? Wearing a turtleneck?
Hang on.
As the saying goes, Dan.
I mean, it's a famous, whatever.
That's famous?
Famous?
Well, more famous than Puddle of Mud.
So off the rails.
Such an emo, lame emo song.
It sucks I left my leather jacket at home tonight.
That sucks. No, but they always play classics. And I honestly, look, Denver lost this one. The best way to get over this, we just came off of 3 days off. I'm so thankful they get to play tomorrow, even though tomorrow is significantly more difficult. That's just a chance to rinse this one out and start something new. What are you looking for tomorrow there?
I don't want to repeat myself all show, but just taking care of the ball would look so much better. Just cohesion on offense, not just guys making shots, but you know, Malone's lauded them for being on a string defensively. They've been on like a cat's cradle offensively. They're all crossed up. I don't know if that works, what I just said.
What but is then, a cat's cradle?
It's like the thing.
None of us know each other's references.
It's when you do
it's a yo-yo thing. Me and Voight, I know what all of you guys are talking about, and none of you know.
You don't know Puddle
anything.
Of Mud.
Well, I know of them. I'll say that. And I'm being rocked gently by them right now. So
did you play Madden? The running back drills on Madden?
No, I was...
So no, you don't relate to anybody up here.
I don't know any of them.
Yeah, but I...
You know wants nothing. To be, like, come on, Aaron, get out of here. Dev, what are you looking for in that game? And what are you expecting, I guess I should also ask?
Just a bounce back, like a response type of game. If they go out and beat the Jazz on the second night of a back-to-back after losing to Cleveland... You forget about that loss. Like, you talk about it later on, like just like last year with the Kings. That was like a real thing that they were going through that at the beginning
of the
season.
We'll laugh about this one day.
Yeah, you were shocked, like, the hell? But it didn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Like, later in the season, there was no way you thought that it mattered anymore. So, if they have a bounce-back game, even if they don't win it, but they play, like, to the best of their abilities or even close to that, where, you know, the offense gets clicking, they still, like, slow the Jazz down somehow, I think that it just doesn't matter. You're like, okay, this team is ready when it matters. This is a game and they just kind of overlooked.
Of course. I mean, this is just like – this is an NBA game, man.
Yeah. I feel like you'll get this, Eric. My new thing when the Nuggets just play horribly, I just ask myself at the end of the game, do I think the Nuggets are really bad? No.
No.
Okay.
Dude, just like –
they'll play better.
Fast – like rewind to 3 hours ago going into this game where like – every Nugget's good. Nonstop Munders. That's never going to stop. We're going to win the championship. Number one. We were looking at 538 stats already.
Right. Oh, 538 had Denver the second best odds to win the title.
Yes. And right now we're like, no one knows how to play basketball. This team has internal issues.
Does Michael Porter Jr. talk to anyone on the team?
Michael Porter Jr. got paid and now he checked out. This is it's one of these goddamn.
Can
things.
I tell By you? Way, go ahead. Go ahead.
She hates me. She effing hates me is the other Puddle of Mud song. Shout out Josh Barnett.
She hates me.
Yeah.
She effing hates me. No.
I've heard that song.
Hell yeah. No, you've heard that sentiment.
We got
that. Bird.
Dude, I'm crushing it today. Let's go, dude.
You guys want to know the real personality? You guys want to know the real personality of the season? What happened to the Nuggets tonight has happened to, I think, every single team in the NBA so far, except for the Utah Jazz, who are undefeated. You look at it tonight, the Clippers are 0-2. They're up 25 on the Blazers right now. The Suns, wrecked by Denver. Then they go smack the heck out of the Lakers. Then get wrecked by the Blazers. Like, if you do this, like, where you just look around the league right now, every team is getting smacked by somebody bad and beating somebody good.
Yeah, I mean, three games is, it's not a lot.
There's very few teams that have consistently be good, even for three games.
You're right. I agree. These things happen. I mean, it's unfortunate that it happened tonight. And we all naively picked another win on that last show when we should have had this circled as a loss. But I think one of the best takes of the night is this is one of those perfect nights to have a back-to-back where you just go, yes. Let's not ruminate on this for two days.
Best take of the night here in the chat.
Oh, talk
David
to me.
W. You look great, D-Line.
Actually, I was going to say that too earlier.
Something about you today.
Okay.
I don't know.
He looks the exact same. He looks every day.
Yeah, I literally look exactly the same.
Plain black shirt with
glowing or something.
No, the bomber, the DNVR shirt.
Yeah, he got dressed today.
Okay.
Wow.
I stole all of the Nuggets' shine, and I'm keeping it for myself.
You bounce around. The Celtics won tonight in overtime. They only play overtime for whatever reason. Your boy, Jason Tatum, went for 41 points. I don't know how you feel about that. You know who's been great? Miles Bridges.
Yeah.
Having himself most improved player type of year,
oh,
man.
He got yammed on, though, by Jaylen Brown. I want to say, of all the nights for Yoke to get baptized, there were like six posters tonight.
Nobody was watching this Nuggets game.
Thank
the timeline was like dead asleep, and you're right. It made the rounds for like 10 minutes, and then like seven other dunks happened all in a row, and people were like moved on. So maybe it won't leave SportsCenter. The Bucks get a win over the Pacers. The Pacers, who are my sleeper pick of the year, 1-3 start.
Very sleeper.
Now, they've had a really tough schedule. Here's another thing about the personality of the season so far. I look at every team, and I'm like, man, they're good. Like, you go down there, the Pacers are like the 17th best team. And I'm like, yeah, they're tough.
Yeah. I think someone was talking about this on NBA TV the other night. I love that when someone says someone and doesn't remember who it was. But I think it's probably harder than ever to just get cupcake wins. I really do. I just think there are so many good teams. And
we just don't know who's good right now.
There's the OKC, but I feel like even some of the other miserable teams are actually trying to be better.
Orlando, OKC, where are the bad teams? I kind of feel like Cleveland, to be honest. This is what kind of sucks. It's like they're not that many teams I would go. They did start Lowry Markkanen at the three tonight.
Yeah, that is true.
And we don't know who's good. We don't know who's bad. Like
this isn't the NFL, though. It's not like they're surprised, like, oh, the Brooklyn Nets are actually bad.
I mean, there are. Like,
there's a few surprises. Detroit's kind of bad, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
Detroit's a bad team.
Yeah, Detroit's
there's a couple.
Bad.
I mean,
there's like five.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
We're not that surprised, Houston's man. Houston's bad. That's the other one. I don't know if there's any others.
But I feel like then you have teams like New Orleans and Minnesota, who sure
they're
not
good. They're good.
But they're trying to win.
They can beat anybody in the league on any given night.
Yeah.
Pistons do get work tonight. Hawks go 122. The Hawks remain my favorite team outside of Denver. You know who my other side piece team is early this year?
No.
I know. You guys are going to hate this. Malone would hate this one.
I know it.
Who?
The Bulls.
Nope. Well, it is the Bulls as well. Of course.
Oh, it's the Kings, huh?
The Kings, man. I got my guy Davion Mitchell. I just love watching him. He's an incredible player to watch play defense. I love Haliburton. Even Fox has kind of grown on me.
This is the worst part about you. You don't like teams. You just like players. You just follow up.
Well, you want me to like the Sacramento Kings as I'm tapped? I love the Nuggets, but
I'm kidding. It's a joke.
I love basketball. The Nets get a win today over the Wizards. The Nets low-key suck.
I know.
It's so fun watching them lose. Everything just looks horrible with them.
They don't look good at all.
It makes me happy, and I didn't notice how much I enjoy the Lakers losing until, like, the other team. Like, when the Lakers get the lead, I'm like, damn.
Oh, and you get so mad.
Because I was so happy for, like, all the timeline to be all upset and just all the narratives that come with it. And they get the lead. I'm like, I'm actually bummed. So I'm like, oh, maybe I really don't like the Lakers.
Oh, I hate the Lakers. I can't stand them. And watching a Lakers game, the other day was on, I'm watching League Pass, and the only broadcast on my cable was the Lakers one. And there was that review. You guys saw the one where Anthony Davis steals the inbound. Great play. Then just falls down and they call a foul. Then they had to review it. And the review, it's like very clear he just took a dive. And the Lakers are like, well, this is clearly a foul. And then they overturn it. And they're like, what? How could they overturn it? And I'm like, it was like nails on a chalkboard for me.
Dude, the one true benefit of opening PHNX from a Nuggets perspective is that now we can double and triple our hatred for the Lakers.
Really do,
we can all focus in. Those guys hate the goddamn Lakers as much, if not more than us. It's great.
It is great. The Miami Heat beat the Magic. Miami Heat are really good. Kind of sneaky great team. Spoelstra is a great coach, man. That's a good team. My Bulls. You're right. My Bulls, they got the win tonight. People laughed at this team. Actually, let's talk about the Bulls for a second. Harrison's almost joining us. I think he's just wrapping up.
Chicago Bulls.
Arturas going to get executive of the year?
Oh.
He better. I think he is.
But here's the, I mean, like, are you guys jealous at all? Part of me is looking over here and I'm like, Arturas, you genius.
I'm jealous that they're in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
The East is good again. The East is good again.
We'll see. teams are always good in the East, and then as you go down, it drops off pretty precipitously.
I mean, you've got Milwaukee, Brooklyn, 76ers, Miami.
Two of those teams suck.
Maybe no, I don't think so. You got a lot of. I just think there's a lot of good teams over there. But the Bulls, how would you feel about Arturas winning Executive of the Year?
I'd feel fine, should I feel prideful? Maybe. I don't want him to win it before Tim wins.
That's what I'm saying. Here's where I'm turning the corner between I'm proud of, I'm happy for him to like a little jealous of him. You know what I mean? Like now,
could Tim win Executive of the Year? Or would it have to be Calvin?
No, Tim would win it.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on Chicago?
No, I wouldn't care at all. I actually think that he's going to be just because of the buzz that's around that team. And also the Bulls just haven't been good or relevant in a while. So now they're going to get that, you know, like momentum and everything coming with it. So I think that he's in the lead for it, and I don't think that it's going to change anytime soon.
I also like the idea of Caruso being the secret sauce to the Lakers mojo and him being gone.
Dude, and he and Kuzma held all of the juice.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. No, I'm not going to be jealous of the Bulls until they're better than the Nuggets. You know, until then, it's like, oh, good for them. That's awesome.
I'm not going to lie. I love watching both Lonzo and Caruso. Like, I just love the way those guys play. So I've watched them, and I'm like, man, we could have had them. That's
Caruso?
The thing. Caruso's a great defender, man.
I thought that was a bit. I thought people just did that to be funny. For real. I didn't know that.
He's a good player.
He's a good player.
How do we know?
What do you mean, how do we know? He's a great defender.
People watch Caruso. What?
Quick note here. Jonas Valanciunas, 22 points, 23 rebounds. Outshined Jokic somehow. So annoying. And Pelicans
really
got their
really
first win.
Good for the death spiral here.
Okay. Hey, people that are still with us like pain. What can I say? Harrison Wynn joins us live from Ball Arena.
Whoa.
Ready to share some. Look at those
looks
lights.
Like he's ascending his one.
Oh, he is ascending his one. Wow. Magical. Harrison, were the vibes as bad there as they were here?
Yeah, man. It was rough. The vibes were so good on opening night and so bad tonight. I will say this, though. The Nuggets beat themselves in a sense with the turnovers, with the fact they couldn't make a three. The Cavs are a decent team, though. The Cavs aren't some throwaway squad. Like, they play hard. They can shoot it. They've got some talent. So it was a combination of Denver beating themselves, but I don't think Cleveland's some throwaway team either.
Yeah, all right, agree to disagree. So tell me, so, Harrison, tell us about Bones Highland's entrance tonight. And I know you were texting in the group chat, a little bit of a fumbled moment, did it feel?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, considering the amount of hype that Bones has had so far, he goes to the scorer's table. And then I think what happened was a timeout, right? There's a timeout that happened, and then he came in after the timeout. And no, like, oh, in the game, Bones High, like, none of that from Nuggets PA guy or anything, Kyle Speller. So you didn't get super hyped up when he got in. So it was a bit of a muted entrance. There wasn't some buzz in the crowd, though. People were like, oh, Bones is going to the table. Bones is checking in. There was some buzz, but, yeah, a bit of a fumbled moment.
What about when Faku got into it with Ricky Rubio? I felt like the crowd came alive for that. Woke up.
Totally. The crowd did come alive. The crowd came alive when Bones scored 5 points when he came in for that first stint. And then, yeah, the crowd came alive again when Faku and Ricky Rubio got into it. Instead of igniting the bench, that was kind of the beginning of the end.
Yeah, it somehow killed Denver. Faku's like, this will fire everyone up. He is the reverse magician or whatever. Or no, regular magician, where everybody else is reversed. We got to flip one of these or something. All right, take us to Michael Malone. Was he steaming?
He was steaming. He was absolutely steaming. He called out his team. He called out the NBA schedule makers. He called out like everyone tonight. He started off by saying, we played soft on offense. We settled for too many pull-up threes rather than play physical and run our offense. We never really attacked. We just settled all night long. And then he said when we did run our offense, we either turned it over or guys just weren't focused. We didn't run our plays. We messed up play calls. And then he took a shot at the schedule makers and was like, now we have to fly to Utah and play a really good Jazz team on the second night of back-to-back, and they haven't played since Friday. And let me get the quote right here. He said, I appreciate that, schedule makers. That's a great early season schedule.
Utah hasn't played since Friday? What a ridiculous schedule.
What are those schedule makers?
I swear. They probably got some back-to-backs coming up, too.
They got to, yeah.
There are 3 to 4 teams in the league. The league starts making the schedule, and they go, oh, shit,
we forgot about Utah.
I swear.
They just go back and add Utah.
And then everyone has to be like, Nuggets have to play them back-to-back. God
that,
damn it.
That is pretty ridiculous, man. So, yeah, I'll tell you the part that stood out to me the most there. Is you said that guys forgot the plays or weren't running the plays or whatever. I feel like we've heard this 3 or 4 times now. That guys, knowing the plays is not that hard. And this is a veteran team. Like the only new guy is Bones Highland. So how
it's not just a veteran team. They have the exact same starting five that they ended last year with pretty much. Even though it was Faku technically in there. But still.
Yeah, it's concerning that would be an issue. The like. We're forgetting the plays here. I don't know.
It's not. Yeah, it's never not concerning when you're playing NBA level basketball and you don't remember the play, like if you're in any sport and you're like, we don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's bad. That's always bad.
The plays that aren't like that intricate are crazy too. Like principles to basketball.
Like, get in the way of that guy so this guy can shoot. Yeah. You're like, what?
Okay. All right. What else from Malone?
So he hit on the turnovers, of course. The turnovers have been out of control. They turned it over 19 times against the Suns, 21 versus the Spurs. I don't even have the final tally here. Let's see what it was. 21 tonight. 19 of them came when they had their regulars in. So that obviously leads to like tons and tons of easy points, 32 points for the Cavaliers. A lot of those are just like breakaway layups. So the turnovers were big. And then obviously they couldn't shoot it tonight. The last two games, the two games Nuggets have played at home, they've shot it terribly. They couldn't hit anything against the Spurs. They couldn't hit anything tonight. They're 18 of 67 from three at home right now. They shot it well against the Suns, but they have not shot anything. They haven't hit anything here at home. So they really couldn't hit anything tonight. Aaron Gordon was 1 of 5 from three. Nicole was 1 of 4. Bones Highland hit as many threes as the entire bench combined. The entire bench unit. So not a good night shooting it.
That's a crazy stat. That's really wild. Did Malone speak at all about Michael Porter specifically? I mean, look, Porter got benched in the second quarter, and I thought it didn't play that many minutes. Did he mention anything about him specifically?
Yeah, so he got benched with a minute to go in the second quarter. Jeff Green subbed in for him, and I was watching Michael Porter Jr. the whole way. He walked over to the coaches and kind of like put his hands up, almost being like, why did I just get taken out? He walked over to the bench, was pissed off. That was obvious. Then was like the first guy to leave the bench and go into the tunnel at halftime. So he was pissed for sure. And then Malone said after the game, the main reason he took him out was because he had two fouls. He wanted to protect him. And then Malone said there was another reason he got taken out.
Because
he didn't make an effort play to go out and contest a three in the corner and instead stayed on the bench. So Malone said the main reason, that's a quote, the main reason was foul trouble, but the other reason was at effort play. So take that as you will.
I mean, we talked about it a lot. I mean, it definitely feels like Michael Porter is just like struggling like with everything right now, and it's almost having a snowball effect where it's compounding on him, and hopefully, I mean, it just needs a feel good game to kind of get out of this little moment. All right, take us to Jokic. Different man, but back to the sweats and beanie.
What would have happened if he pulled up in a suit tonight? Like, I really
Nuggets would have won. That's what would have happened.
It's tough though when he literally owns the one suit.
What do you have to say?
He pulled up in sweats and a beanie. He was also holding a book. I asked him what book he was reading. He declined to get into it. He goes, You guys don't want to know.
That's like concerning.
It's like how to be a Laker or something.
Eric, get out.
Get out. Get out. All right, so what did he have to say, and just kind of walk us through his availability?
Yeah, he was asked about the turnovers, and he pretty much said, I think this was an exact quote I've got here, actually. I don't know, maybe this is just our reality. So not super encouraging that they can get the turnover issues fixed.
I love Jokic.
He could be such an Eeyore sometimes.
Also, like at media day, he's like, maybe this is the worst season I ever have. I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
The way he's so resigned to the fate of what happened.
No one means the word maybe more than Jokic when he says it. He actually is saying nothing at all.
Yeah. The thing with the defense is interesting because Nuggets have held three opponents to under 100 points to start the year. I don't have to go back and check the stats. I'm pretty sure that's never happened before. Like, I'd be very surprised if that's ever happened. Definitely hasn't happened under Mike Malone, I don't think. But Jokic said he didn't even think the defense was that good tonight. He just thought Cavs missed some shots that they should have made. So he wasn't too happy with the defense. And then on the three-point shooting, Jokic pretty much put it pretty simply. If you're open, shoot it. If you're not making it, maybe stop shooting it as much. So that would be his advice as a coach.
Hell yeah.
I can't wait till he coaches one day.
Have you guys ever seen Being There?
No.
It's a great movie. It's like a movie from the 80s. But it's, yeah, this guy, he's a gardener, and he just says things, and everyone thinks he's being really wise, but he's just, it's like yoke. It sounds like wisdom. Like, if you're open, shoot. But if not,
then don't.
Maybe don't shoot so much. And everyone's like, it's what? So true. It's
thank
so
you,
true.
Sensei. Thank
it's
you.
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare. All right, there's a little being there reference for you guys.
Yeah, wow.
That was fun.
Everybody
yeah.
in the chat, hit me up about how much you guys love that one.
Way to sneak that in there.
It's no Puddle of Mud reference, but we're moving along. All right, what else, Harrison?
That was really it for Jokic, but like my biggest concern with him, or maybe just the team right now. Guys, for the last two games, this has been a one-man team, like, to be kind of totally honest.
Yeah.
Jokic carried them past San Antonio. He was really the only one that had anything going tonight. So that's kind of what we all thought maybe the worst nightmare could be, where there's just too much on his shoulders. The last two games, that's definitely been the case. So that's something to watch for sure. And then we also spoke with Will Barton, who is not concerned about the lack of turnovers. Will pretty much said it, like, look, this is what happens early in the season for a lot of teams. Although you can probably make the case a team like the Nuggets, it should not be happening to. But he thinks it will come around. Also kind of agreed with the defense. It wasn't as good as it should have been tonight. But then Will, and this kind of was the most revealing part of what any player had to say tonight, he kind of just said, like, I've got to take on more responsibility as being that lead ball handler. I've got to be a high assist guy. I was in our first two games. We won. I wasn't tonight, and we lost. So Will wants the ball more in his hands. He wants to, like, make plays for himself, make plays for others too. So he's definitely kind of putting the onus on himself to kind of be more of a leader on the court and, like, be, you know, if Mike's not going to step up, be that number two guy. That's at least how I took it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Anything else from him?
That's it.
That's it. Well, Harrison, we thank you for soldiering through that one. What a bummer of a game, man. A home game down the drain. And just, I mean, it felt like a Monday. It just was, it was one of those games that we just throw away, I guess.
We have to say, though, Harrison, thank you so much for finding a way to join us live from the middle of a wormhole. It's just like extreme yeah. professional commitment.
The lighting's not ideal at this point in the night.
Well, get home safely. We appreciate it, man. We'll see you tomorrow right back here. Harrison will be in the lounge tomorrow. Cue up that outro music, Kale. Let's get out of here, guys.
Oh, my God.
Oh, we got a super chat here, and it says, how does this loss rank in comparison to the back-to-back Kings losses last year? Kind of
the
comparable.
Same.
Yeah, it's
the
like same. The same.
Very comparable.
The Nuggets are used to this, man. Like, sadly, we're used to it.
The Nuggets aren't. We are.
We are. Yeah.
We are. Never forget your roots, from whence you came. As soon as you start to think you're somebody different, the world has a way of reminding you who it is you actually are. This is who we are. We're the Nuggets. This is Nug Life, baby.
This is
saddle up. It might get better. Might not.
Oh, the words are joke.
Maybe it won't.
Well, here it is, you guys. We can't enjoy the highs without experiencing the lows to at least contrast it out. Here we are.
Together,
losing to the Cavs on a Monday.
Let's go.
It's going to be better tomorrow.
Good news is Tuesday.
Or it won't be.
We'll be back here at the bar. If you guys are here, drop a line. Let us know. We'll come say hi. And then, of course, Friday, don't forget, Friday and Saturday, weekend watch parties. You want to set your watches, set your calendars. You want to be here, especially Saturday when we're going to be doing costume parties.
Oh, yeah, we're having a costume party.
I don't even know what costume I'm going to come as.
I think you're going to come as some Nuggets player with some costume that requires a deep level of understanding that most people won't get.
A crazy reference?
You should do the Mozgov thing again.
Just that one?
Just the shirt.
I love that one. I love that costume.
I am going to go as Facundo Campazzo, and I'm just going to wear his jersey.
Hell yeah.
And then get in everybody's face all night.
Just starting fights
start
everywhere.
Rotating all over the bar.
Dev?
I'm going to surprise you guys.
Oh, I can't wait. That was the right answer.
That means he's not showing up.
Everybody else, put on your costumes. Get on out here. Let's get sloppy drunk and watch the Nuggets. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, right now, if you apply and register for classes at MSU Denver online, it's going to be free. Free application fees to any and all students. That's $0 for your application fee. Doesn't matter if you're looking to get your undergrad, graduate degree, or just take online classes. Listen, time and time again, the one thing that will protect you against economic downturns is an education allowing you to adapt into varying careers. Go ahead and build your toolbox at MSU. MSU Denver Online puts a dynamic education at your fingertips without forcing you to decide between earning a degree and living your life. It's not just some A to B lazy online program. It's certainly not a cash grab. This is a real education, and it's a convenient education. And right now, it's available to you. Free application fees for any and all students at MSU Denver Online.